Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yo, welcome to All Things GOAT with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Man, the name says it all. If you're rocking with us, make sure you leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. And now you can leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify as well. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can get alerted of all our great content right away. Now, let's get to our awesome show. First quarter, it's a little different. We're going to tap right into Around the League. Here's where we tap into the news coming from the NFL. Most recently, there's only one big piece of news we all need to talk about, right? The Super Bowl just happened in sunny Los Angeles, California. Outstanding ball game. The Rams beat Cincinnati 23-20. I was out there in Los Angeles. Pat P was out there. We did our show out there, had a blast. It was an unbelievable experience. But now it's time to give our player perspective when it comes to the recap of the ball game. Pat P, what were some of your biggest takeaways coming from that game? Primarily speaking more about the end of the game situations that we saw from both sides.
Let me think. End of the ball game, fourth quarter.
The Cooper Cup drive.
The Cooper Cup drive. I think that was a 15 play drive, if I'm not mistaken.
Was it 15 or 17?
The no look pass in that drive was just
ridiculous. Yo, real quick, Pat P. Have you ever seen anything like that? Like,
I played against Matt a bunch of times. I've seen him do that a couple times before.
But in that moment, like to have the guts.
Yeah, not in that moment, but I mean, he done it so much to where he's like comfortable with it. That's like Patty Mahomes, you know, rolling out right and throwing it back across his body. He done it so much to where he's comfortable with it now. You know what I mean?
Right. I don't know if I can do that if somebody gave me $1 million.
Yeah. He knew. Hey, he no look that sucker and put that thing on a dime.
Hit it in stride.
Yes, sir. I thought that was a great drive for them to go down there and capitalize and win the football game. I think the Rams defense, honestly, they just bowled up in the last 8 minutes. I don't think the Bengals didn't do nothing to play themselves out of the game. I just think the Rams defense, they were just very, very stingy, especially when it came around like 8:30 left in the ball game. They had to fight for every inch of blade of grass.
The Rams defense played great all game.
They did.
In the first half, their offense was a bit stagnant. Didn't really do a lot. In the first half, the Rams offense didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
Outside, when OBJ went out that ball game, they became stagnant. But the Rams defense, man, was unbelievable. For me, that Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford drive was unbelievable. You know what I mean? That was Matthew Stafford's best drive, and Cooper Kupp was just amazing. But one issue that I have regarding the Bengals, you need 3 points to tie the ball game to go in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
The last possession, your best running back is not in the ball game.
Yeah.
Second down, they tried a quarterback sneak or something like that. Whatever. Was it a quarterback sneak second down?
Nah, they ran the ball. Then they ran the ball twice.
They ran it on third down to Samaje Perine. Didn't get anything. I know. Yeah. I remember third down. I can't remember what they ran on second down. But why?
They ran the ball twice.
Why is your backup running back in the ball game? Now check this out. Joe Mixon was playing pretty good football. 14 carries for 70 plus yards, pretty good average per carry. He's the guy that should have been in the ball game. So third down, you handing the ball to Samaje Perine. He's not your go-to guy. Joe Mixon is. Didn't make sense. Fourth down, you line up in shotgun. If you line up in shotgun on fourth and one with the backup running back in the ball game, Pat P, you know it's a pass.
Yeah.
100%. And get this. Your offensive line in the second half had no answer in protecting Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. So when you line up in that formation, us as defenders already basically predicting what we're going to see. They're going to run something to the sticks. It's going to be some type of intermediate route. as a pass rusher, you know that as well. So now you're peeling your ears back. So that play for me, don't get cute. Get under center, put 28 in the ball game. Who is Joe Mixon? And run it. Because if you lose that ball game by running it, you can accept that a little more than losing by throwing it. Zach Taylor got too cute. Didn't make any sense. That you couldn't protect your quarterback at all. What makes you think you can protect him on fourth and one when you're throwing the ball? No, it didn't make any sense. Let's talk about something else that happened in that ball game. Unfortunately, OBJ go down early in the ball game in the second quarter. Devastating blow for us as fans of OBJ, but clearly for him. But Pat P, before he went down with that injury,
I felt a big night coming.
Oh, Pat P, I felt 7 for 114 or 7 for 124 and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, he was gonna have a big night for sure. You can just see the pep in his step, the energy he had. You know, just the, you know, just happy to be in the moment. You know, he was definitely playing, you know, to his energy level. You know, far as, you know, getting open on routes, you know, making big time catches. You know, I think, he broke the ice. He was the first one to get the touchdown. So, like as DBs, you know how that is. You be the first one to get a touchdown. Oh, it's going to be a good day.
Oh, you know what time it is. You know.
It's going to be a good day.
I messed up.
He bust out the moonwalk and everything. He moonwalked last night.
Did you see what he had on his feet?
Yeah, I saw both pair.
You saw the first pair of pregame warm-ups.
Yeah, then I saw the white, blue, and yellow ones.
With the lot, he had the lots like the off-white joints. And Cooper Kupp, he put Cooper Kupp's swag game up a little bit too, because Cooper had some.
All of them had them. All the receiver had them on. Jefferson had them on too.
When you put them on your feet, you got a ball out.
You got a ball.
Yeah, and they're saying that. Of course, I don't think we've heard the exact information regarding his knee, but they fear that he tore his ACL. And the blow for that is that this is a contract year for him. He's going to be a free agent. And you tear, if it's torn, it happened at the end of the season.
Yeah, he ain't coming back to early next year, man. Like during the season.
It's a tough blow.
Yeah, everybody's different though. You know,
yeah, everybody's different.
Everybody's different.
Hopefully, you know, when we drop this episode, clearly there probably will be concrete information regarding what actually it was he hurt, but hopefully it's not the ACL and something that he can come back sooner than later. But I'm right, man. OBJ was he was ready to put on for the city. He was going to put on for the city.
That he was.
But that's the nature of the beast in the game we play, the uncontrollable. That's why when you get to that moment, take advantage of it, because you never know what could happen next. Looking on the defensive side, question for you, Pat P, as a corner. Did Super Bowl 56 prove how difficult a job that corners have? And I'm not talking about the known of just covering wide receivers. I'm talking about the calls, the lack thereof that we get rewarded with. We're always the one getting hit with calls. And the play that I'm talking about, first play after halftime. First play, Pat P, I had went to use the facilities in a nice stadium because that was in a nice suite with so much snack. They had all kind of food and drink up there, Pat P. Hey, Pat P, they treat the media real good, boy. Man, I had everything I wanted, but I'm in there using the facilities. I come out. I heard the crowd go wild. I ain't even got my shirt tucked in all the way. I'm trying to get to the nearest monitor. I look, I see T. Higgins by himself. Like, what the freak happened? Why nobody is around him? Then they showed a replay real quick. I said, I know that's Jalen. I said, wait a minute, something must have happened.
Right.
And then I finally saw, because you know, watching the game in the stadium, you don't get the different angles that you might get from the TV copy. You know what I'm saying? But then I seen what happened. Then I go on Twitter. I saw I'm like, wait a minute, ref. Come on, ref. You can't miss that. You cannot miss that, Pat P, because you know you talk about this all the time. You know they won't miss that on us.
Dang sure won't.
They won't miss that on
no
us.
No chance.
I don't care how late it come out. It's the flag gonna come out.
Now, that's why I say this all the time. I wonder if they're like, how could the ref look at both guys? That's always been my argument. They can't. We gotta add some more referees to have eye on both guys, because we're obviously both fighting for a position to get to a ball. But at the end of the day, that ref is looking at the DB. He ain't looking at the receiver. He's Pat looking P. at a DB.
Pat P, I got some of them to read to you right now. And our listeners and our viewers that are checking us out, I don't know if you guys heard this, but an NFL official by the name of Robert Torbert said, this is what he said, Pat P.
What he said?
Our rule is that if there is a grab and a twist and turn, there's enough for a foul. If there's just a rake across the face mask where there's not a twist and turn, even if there's a grab, there is no foul. The officials did not see any contact that rose to that level of a foul for a 15-yard face mask. Wait a minute. So he basically say, if you don't actually grab the face mask and turn it, there's no foul. That's a blatant lie. Because how many times do we see a runner might even when a wide receiver is coming up the line of scrimmage and your hands might get a little high, you scrape the touch the face mask. That's an illegal hands to the face. Right? Or if you're rushing the quarterback and you graze his face mask, not pulling it, but if you graze his face mask, that's a personal foul.
Yep.
Help me understand something, Pat P. I don't understand it.
Hey, man, I can't elaborate on this, Mac, so you help me.
It's the offseason, Pat P. Let it rip.
Uh-uh. They still going to
let it rip.
Mm-mm.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. You can't talk
about that's BS. Robert, that's BS. You need to stop that. So basically you're saying it's one-sided. Offensive players gets the opportunity. If I touch your face mask and don't pull it, it's a flag. But if you touch my face mask while I'm trying to look for the ball, by the way, just imagine how that messed up that hand-eye coordination from Jalen trying to locate the ball and you hit him with his face mask. I can't even find the ball anymore.
Right. Yep.
Boy, that's
BS. We already got to stay in position with the receiver, look back for the ball, and also still maintain position while tracking the ball as well. So like
keeping your balance.
And to your point, you could, as soon as he graced his face mask, what he did? Started falling over. Because he lost his balance because of his face mask being raked.
And it's a hard thing to try to locate the football instantly when you turn your head when you're already running as fast
especially
as you can.
Especially in a dome, too.
In a dome with them lights. Yes, sir. That's BS, Robert. That's BS. That's BS. Actually, but luckily enough for Jalen, you can tell it was bothering him the entire ballgame. They were still able to win. Yeah. But you got to make that call.
That's what my wife was talking about. She's like, how you think he – I said, yeah, he be a little pissed, but he a champ.
he was fire hot, boy. He was a bocce hot.
I know, no doubt about it. I'd be pissed, too.
Oh, I'd be mad. Because everybody already going to criticize when you give him a pass. They could be like, you got beat deep. No.
Yep.
I didn't get beat deep. That man grabbed my face mask. That means something. And other news, Pat Pete, another defender, a guy who I believe should have won MVP or Von Miller, Aaron Donald. There are rumors coming from LA that he may consider retiring. Super Bowl champion, 3-time defensive player of the year, 7-time first team all pro. Do you think he would actually retire?
Man, you never know, man. I mean, because he's still playing, obviously, best football of his life. Don't look like he's losing a step at all. You know what it comes down to? If he really feel like he got something to prove, if he really feel like he still got that same fire, that same desire that he had, what he's in year 9, going into year 9 next year, that he had in year 5, year 4. You know what I mean? Because that means a lot, man. If you're not there mentally, I mean, why are you on the football field? You know what I mean? You're going to get yourself hurt. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
and he know better than you know anybody. So if he's not there mentally, you know, if you feel like it's time to hang it up, he going out on the highest horse ever. You know what I mean? Question. What he got seven first team All Pros, three-time defensive MVP, MVP, Super Bowl champ. Like, what else? Is just gonna all come down to like, is he chasing more? Or is he satisfied with that one?
Yeah,
you know I mean, it's gonna all come down on what he wants to do,
and all about the love meter as well when it comes to the game of football. That's why Tom Brady plays so much because the love never changed. He always became more motivated after winning championships or individual accolades. And let's talk about a guy like yourself, Pat P. You've accomplished a lot as an individual. Let's say if you're Aaron Donald, like you just won your Super Bowl. That's the last thing you didn't get off your checkbook, your checkbox. Would that really cross your mind? You, as Pat P, all the All Pros,
Pro Bowls, the interceptions, and now you finally got that championship. Would you be like, you know what, I might consider retiring, or you get instantly motivated running back?
Like you just said, Tom Brady, running back, because I love the game, man. I've been playing the game since I was 6-7 years old. You know, it's not that, the game is not my identity. It's just if I have the ability to still play the game that I love and have so much passion for, like I don't want to cut myself short. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to have any regrets, when I do leave the game. Mm-hmm. So I want to leave everything out on the line because like you said, I love the game. Like I feel like sometimes when people think, I joke about it all the time. Like, I feel like when I play on the football game, in a football game on Sundays, it almost still feel like I'm in college. I know I'm a professional athlete, but it's not, I won't necessarily say it's not about the money, but it's just that's how much love I have for the game, that my love is bigger than that for the game, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. And Aaron Donald might not have the same viewpoint that you have.
Right.
And that's why these rumors could be a bit true.
His love. Everybody's different, man.
Everybody is different. And if he decides to walk away, number one, the Rams fan going to be crying for almost 5 years. He had a great run. He had a great run. And other news in the Super Bowl 56, a Rams win against the Bengals. Two-part question for you. Did you believe that Cooper Kupp should have received the MVP? And with this championship now being won by Matthew Stafford, is he a Hall of Famer?
The first part, yes, I believe Cooper Kupp should want it. They got that right. I think it was
had the MVP.
Yeah, but behind him, Aaron Donald, for sure. It was, for me, Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, then Matthew Stafford. That was my order of, the MVP standings. But, Cooper Kupp, they rode him all year. Mm-hmm. And they rode him on that last drive when they needed him the most. Yep. You know what I mean? So, it wasn't no doubt in my mind that, he wasn't only the best player, on the field, but, the best player on that Rams team all Sunday, although he was a little quiet in the first half. But like I said, when they needed him the most and quietly, he still ended up with 100 and some yards, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And so, they rolled him all the way there. And when they needed their horse the most, he cashed through for him. And the second part question, do I think Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Famer? I think eventually he'll be a Hall of Famer. Like I think, his numbers are there. I saw some of the stuff that Richard was saying about obviously having one Pro Bowl, no All Pros, no All Decade. That's tough. But the quarterback position is a little bit harder to get those accolades than it is, in my opinion, than it is the cornerback or offensive line position, because so much ride on you, and you got a Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers within those time, or Peyton Manning, those all bros, all pros and all decades are going to those guys. You know what I mean? So he was in a tough quarterback class, because if you look at it, he got multiple 5,000 yards, passing seasons, multiple high 4,800 yard passing season, 48 passing touchdown. So, his numbers are there, but, the individual accolades, may not be there as far as the all pro and, all decade and Pro Bowls and all that stuff. But eventually I think he will get in.
Yeah, I think
a lot of weight.
If he continues to go in this direction, he would get in. But if his career was to end today, is he a Hall of Famer? No.
It'll be tough, but no.
Because even you said in the biggest game of his life, he would be fourth in the MVP pecking order.
Yeah.
And I think that's valid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Some of the other guys that we talk about, you might say Eli ain't a Hall of Famer. And based on that argument, I can see that. But one thing you can't say is that Eli wasn't the best player on the Giants in those championship ball games.
Yeah.
He delivered.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford had issues. He leaned more on Cooper Kupp than Cooper Kupp leaning on him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
And, if you had to pick MVP of the Super Bowl, he would be fourth. Best case, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He'll be fourth. And I think that would definitely be a big time discussion when his time comes, if he was to end today. Now, a lot can happen between now and whenever he retires. He might win another championship. He might add some more individual accolades to his resume, but we have to wait and see. But right now, just winning a championship for Matthew Stafford, I do agree with you, Pat P. He's not a Hall of Famer right now. Let us know what you think. Should Matthew Stafford, is he a Hall of Famer based on what he's done so far in his professional career? Do you agree? Yay or nay? Let us know. Pat P, before we go to break, I gotta hit you up with this question. I saw it live. How did you feel? What did you feel about the halftime show? Did you love it? Did you thought it could be better? Tell us your thoughts about the halftime show featuring Dr. Dre, Snoop, Eminem, 50, Mary J.
I thought it was fire. I thought it was one of the best halftime performance shows that I can remember. You know, I thought that Janet Jackson was dope with in Miami.
Yep.
Beyonce was fire. She brought that. Beyonce sucked the energy out of the Superdome that year. Remember that's when they had the outage, the power outage. Yeah. This one was dope. A really, really nice one that I didn't have opportunity to watch Michael Jackson, you know, perform. But when Prince did his, I think that was in Miami. Was that in Miami too?
That was 2000. I think that was the Lovie Smith, Tony Dungy.
Yes.
Coast.
That, hey man, that
and
was.
And it started raining.
Yes.
And it started raining.
He played that Purple Rain, bro. Bro, everybody went crazy, dog. Like, yeah. you know, the Super Bowl part is already be crazy as it is, but the old folks, dog, when he played that Purple Rain, oh no man, it was a block party.
No question. and oddly enough, it started to rain.
It started to rain. So, this one's by far probably one of my favorite ones that I had opportunity to watch. But I will say this, Mac, you had me on my damn edge of my seat the whole halftime show.
I already know what you're going to say.
I don't know if you remember, Dre had paid like a little snippet of one of Tupac's songs. I think it ain't mad at you. Mm-hmm. I said, here you go. Yeah, here
you
go. You
thought you were going to get that hologram.
Yes, I thought the hologram was going to come out. Then he changed it over to, I forgot what song. I said, oh, man, I'm pissed now, man, because I wanted to see the hologram so bad, dog.
Man, I thought we was going to get the hologram when they did California. California look.
If he would have did, I ain't mad at you. Everybody know that song. Obviously, everybody know California Love. That's a big time song. But if he would have played that, I ain't mad at you, because the scene was already, it was a lot of energy in there, right? Boom, yeah. Boom, boom. So you mad? You tell me you bring Ain't Mad At You out with a Tupac hologram. Ugh. Man, the crowd would have went. They probably would have cried, bro.
It would have went crazy.
I'm telling you, they would have cried like that man was there for real.
No question. Man, I was fine. Because when I heard he was playing the key, the piano, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. It's da-na-na-na-na-dun.
I said, oh, here it is. Here it is.
Hey, Pat P, my mom was hyping up that hologram all weekend. Man. I was like, well, we're going to get us a Tupac hologram.
Man, that thing
so good. I saw Pat Pete. I saw it live. When I tell you the energy in that place, man, listen, man.
I felt
that was one of the, I agree with you. That's one of the best I've seen. The only issue I had with the Super Bowl performance, halftime performance, I wish Mary J. would have performed two different songs. Like, no more drama. She sung it.
Yeah.
But don't give me that one, man. Give me something else that's a little more upbeat, because everyone else was banging.
She should have gave us just fine.
Oh man, that just fine.
Oh boy,
I would have loosened up my tie around my neck and unbuttoned my top button. Boy, man, she would have hit that just fine. But other than that, man, Eminem came through. Oh, 50 came through. Man, it was an unbelievable halftime show. If I had to rank the halftime shows that I could remember, I'm got Michael Jackson 1, Prince 2. And the one we just saw in Super Bowl 56, that would be my top three.
That's big.
I got MJ, because I was, how old was I? And I think it could have been four or five or six. But I was a Michael Jackson fan. And I used to try to have my little white t-shirt like his when he cut around the neck area and cut the sleeves. Because you could easily rip away. He had that rip away t-shirt. Yeah. I tried to rip away. Man, and I ain't had no glitter glove, but I had one of them cooking gloves, the clear ones. I steal one of my mama cooking gloves and put on my right hand.
Latex.
Whole hand sweating. I got sweat coming from everywhere. With my white socks, them tube socks and them penny loafers with that penny in it. You remember them penny loafers?
Oh, yeah.
I used to have to put a penny in the penny loafer. Did that make any sense, by the way?
You had to get you got to make sure you had to got the super bronze one. You can't get that dull one.
No question. I used to have my penny on heads. I never put it on tails. I put that penny on heads when I put it in that penny loafer. I would need to come back out with some penny loaves. I brought me some penny loaves now with a penny.
Penny loaves, where they at, coach?
Hey, Pat P. But that's my top three, though. That's my top three. Michael, Prince, and what we saw at Super Bowl 56. NFL did a great job in getting those individuals together on one accord, and they performed like no other. So that was a dope show.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account. Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You guys really thought we were going to let you guys leave without giving you a school check-in? Stop playing this. It's time for school check-in. Some new news coming from Minnesota. Coaching staff updates. Addition. Of course, Kevin O'Connell expected to be introduced this Thursday. Ed Dantel, defensive coordinator. Mike Pettine, defensive assistant. Man, they're coming through with some big-time individuals. Deshae Townsend, a guy that we were hyped about, actually decided to go to Jacksonville. I spoke with Deshae on Saturday. He informed me he got a bigger role with the Jacksonville Jaguars outside of what Minnesota was trying to offer him. So he decided to take his talents down in Duval. But, Pat P., based on what you know, hearing about this staff, what do you know about Dantel and Pettine when it comes to the defensive-minded guys they have getting ready to run this defense? I know Mike Pettine has been around the league for quite a long time. I think his last stop was a defensive coordinator for Green Bay, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Very aggressive. Speaking to Mike, very aggressive. Want to get after the quarterback. Love his corners to be in the receiver faces, being physical. That's going to come off the edge and tackle. Just a very, very aggressive mindset. You know, I had an opportunity to play against his team. I'm sure I played against a couple of his team when he was a defensive coordinator, but when he was with the Browns, you know, those guys was pretty stout, you know, at that time as well. Just couldn't find a consistent quarterback to keep on the center. And then Ed, actually, he was a corners coach when the San Francisco 49ers were recruiting me back in 2011.
Yeah.
And actually, man, Ed had an opportunity to grow a relationship over the years because he was still there under the Harbaugh era. Did he end up going somewhere else? I can't remember exactly.
The last 3 years, he was the defensive coordinator for the Broncos.
Yes. And but he was somewhere before that. Mm-hmm. I think he might have was with the Bears, if I'm not mistaken. Gotcha. I think he was with the Bears. Yeah, he was with the Bears because he was with Vic. So, you know, every time we played the Bears, I had an opportunity to talk to him. I mean, we always just had small talks, you know, all the time. So even when he came, you know, up here for, you know, training camp, when he was with the Broncos last year. So you know, I have a pretty good relationship with him. But, you know, for the most part, you know, I think he's a quarters guy, not a high pressure guy. Will send pressure, but rely on his front four to create pressure so he can play a lot of coverages on the back end, have more eyes on the quarterback to create more turnovers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, you know, very sound, you know, defense wherever he's been, you know, especially in that San Francisco era when they had the Carlos Rogers, Dante Whitner, or should I say Dante Hittner?
Hittner.
Who else they had out there? Oh, they had
Brown. They had, I think, Terrell Brown was a corner.
Yeah, man, they just had a very, very solid, well-coached football team. So, you know, I know Coach Ed is gonna, you know, if I'm there next season, he's definitely gonna have one of the smartest defenses on the football field for sure.
And I can tell you this much: I'm real excited to see exactly what he will do defensively, because he comes from that 3-4 tree. You know, when he was a DB coach in San Francisco, the years you talked about, Pat P, they ran 3-4. If you look at what he did, you know, being tied to Vic Fangio, ran a 3-4 mostly, I think, the last few years there in Denver, if I'm not mistaken. So Minnesota has always been known to be a 4-3 defense, base defense. Now, with most offenses coming out in 3 wide receiver sets, you're usually in your sub packages more than anything. But seeing if he started, if he will, you know, present some 3-4 elements to the defense. So we have to wait and see. In other news,
I think honestly, he'll have versatility to do that, because we had some defenses last year where we, you know, played a little bit of a hybrid, you know, 3-4. So so he'll have guys like, you know, Daniil can easily, you know, stand up and come off the edge. You got Mike Pierce in the middle that can be a 3-5 tech. Then you got who else we had up there? DT, who can be a nose guard. You know, then you got a young DJ who can play a 5 and a 9. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you got guys that's interchangeable that you can, you know, have a hybrid, you know, style 3-4 defense still for sure.
Yeah. Okay. And you guys lost Andre Patterson. He went to be the D-line coach with the Giants. You know, what did he bring to the Vikings?
Coach just brought, you know, a calmness to the defensive side of the ball, because we all know Coach Zim is a very fiery guy, you know, just very passionate, you know, when it comes to coaching or getting something done the way he wanted to get done. And it just Coach Patterson, he's just the opposite, you know, just super, super chill. You rarely hear him yell, you know, a guy that want to give you all the tools that he feel that you need to be successful. Yep. You know, a guy that definitely want to coach his tail off for his player success. You know, so I'm happy for Coach Dre. You know, I know he's going to do an amazing job over there with the Giants. And, you know, hopefully I run into him. We'll cross paths someday again in the near future.
No doubt, no doubt. But one thing I can say, you know, when you get coaches, you're going to lose some. And I think Minnesota, they're doing a good job in assembling a nice staff for this new coaching regime. The cupboard is not bare. They got some spices already in the cupboard ready to be used the right way. So hopefully these coaches can put up, cook up a nice pot of gumbo with all the spices they got in the cupboard. Pat, you like gumbo?
Love it.
I know you like them, bro. I don't like mine too spicy, though. Can't deal. Make my nose run when I eat spicy food.
Yeah. That's it for this episode. Thanks to everyone for listening and watching. We'll be back again Thursday, where you can expect all things to be covered. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.